Good morning again. Jesus makes us clean, follows perfectly in that song that we were just singing. Let's just pray again. Lord, as we pray, it's a coming before you, an acknowledgement of who you are, that you are our sovereign God, that you are listening, that you see us and you hear us. And we welcome you here into this place this morning. And we pray that you'll touch our hearts. We ask this in your name. Amen. Now let me start by asking, how many of you had a wash before you came here this morning? Good to see a few hands. Maybe you had a bath or a shower last night and you feel like you're covered. Something that washed away the dirt from yesterday. I know I did. But I'm thankful that you've all washed, because otherwise you might not be sitting so close together. But anyway, this morning we're going to actually be looking at a story from the Bible about washing. It's a story that's about the night before Jesus died, about the time when he shared his last meal with his friends, and during that meal, he washed their feet. It's a story that's familiar to many of us, but we're going to look at it again this morning. Jesus knew his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. He knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table. He took off his robe, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter said, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." I wonder if you've washed anyone's feet lately. It's not something we do, really, is it? It's not something we practice. But in Jewish homes at this time, foot washing was just part of everyday life. It was expected that when you went into someone's home, they would get their servants to wash your feet. It was a mark of respect and hospitality. In washing his disciples' feet, Jesus was taking on the role of a servant. They would have known that. It was an act of submission and humility. And Jesus later tells his followers for them to go and do the same, for them to live with this posture of servanthood. But see, Jesus is the teacher. Jesus is their leader. And Peter says, "No way." He says, "I can't let you wash my feet. I can't let you serve me. That's the wrong way around." And Jesus replies and he says, "You don't understand what I'm doing for you, but one day you will." And we know that the disciples did go on to understand. And that's why we have this account, because they understood that this act of washing their feet, it wasn't really about making their feet clean. And although it was about Jesus showing them what a servant looks like, it was actually about something even more profound. See, when you wash a person's feet, you make them clean on the outside. When you and I bathe or shower, we're cleaned on the outside. All the dirt that we've picked up during the day is washed away. But what Jesus was about to do on the cross would remove all the dirt from the inside. and it would make them fully clean. Jesus uses this act of foot washing to teach his disciples something incredibly new for them, a very new way of thinking for them. But it's also really relevant for us now. See, you and I, we try to be acceptable to God. We try to be good. We try to be kind. We try to do and say the right things. But I can tell you from experience that no matter how hard we try, we will always fall short. None of us is able to live a sinless life. We all make mistakes. And at times, we all do the wrong thing, no matter how hard we try. No matter how good our intentions, at times, we all do the wrong thing. But that's why God sent Jesus to earth as one of us, to reconcile and to restore what had been broken, to do for us what we could never, ever hope to do for ourselves. In the same way that Jesus washed away from the dirt from his disciples' feet and made them physically clean, well, through his death, he makes us spiritually clean. And you know what? No one else can do that for you. Jesus told his disciples, unless I wash you, you can't belong to me. Unless I wash you, you can't belong to me. Because it's only through Jesus that we can truly be made clean and right with God. You know, as I've been reading over this story during the week, I've been reminded that Jesus offered his disciples the most beautiful gift. But he offers that same gift to us today. It's the gift of new life. It's the gift of a relationship with God. Forgiveness for all of the things that we've done wrong in the past and even in the future. And it's the promise of freedom and living in that relationship with God. But like any gift, you have to choose to accept it. You have to choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You have to choose to acknowledge that you actually need to be made clean. And then you have to choose to follow in the way of Jesus Christ in your everyday life. It's an ongoing acceptance of that gift. The question that we reflect on over Easter is, have we accepted that gift that Jesus has offered? His gift of being forgiven and made clean. Are we living in that relationship that Jesus died to give us? For many of us here, we accepted that gift many years ago. And it's easy to become blasé. It's easy to forget the wonder, the gratitude that we felt at that time. Easter is a wonderful opportunity for us to be reminded of that. And over the next little while, we're going to have opportunity to do that. Normally on a Thursday evening before Easter, we have what we call the Service of Shadows. It's a ceremony that dates back to the 4th century, a time when the focus is on the shadows that fell on Jesus Christ in those last few hours of his life on earth. We're going to have different readers come up and read different parts of that story of Jesus' walk to the cross. And then at the end of their reading, they're going to glow and blow out one of the candles. The red candle will be left till last, because because it's a symbol that reminds us of Jesus' death. In between each of those readings, there'll be opportunity for us to just sit quietly and reflect. Reflect on what we've heard, what we've seen. And after that, when you're ready, in your own time, we'll ask you to come up and to just take some bread and some juice and take it back to your seat. And to just have your own time of communion with God. But before you come up and do that, I want to ask one person from each family to come up and receive a gift this morning. It's a gift of a wooden cross, each one individually handmade, not by me, but by Louise. And it's her gift to us, to our church. So there's enough here for one for each family and possibly more. So if we start with one for each family, if you come up and get a cross. I've had one of these small crosses for a number of years. And as someone who is very tactile, it's something that quite often when I pray, I hold this cross. And it reminds me and focuses me on who it is that I'm praying to. So I want to invite one person from each family, adult child, to just come up and take one of these crosses, if you want to come and do that now. I'd like to just invite the first of our readers to just come forward.
Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't need me